The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 5th of June, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Quick housekeeping note to all my HHT Family Association members, we're having a jumble sale this Saturday, the 8th of June, at 8 a.m. at Hibiscus Wash House. That's at Hibiscus Street in Farrington Road. There's still time to drop off donations. We'll be accepting donations all the way up to Saturday morning. Come join us. We'll have breakfast and lunch items for sale, along with an assortment of used, gently used, and new clothing, household items, kitchen accessories, and books, and books. Join us there Saturday, the 8th of June, at 8 a.m., connect with executive members through the family WhatsApp groups for pickup and drop-off details. It's a Wednesday. That means it's a Man Down Mashup Wednesday session where we bring On the Clock and Guardian Radio AM together. I'm awaiting a guest in studio to join this Wednesday show. We've got lots to talk about. We're going to be talking primarily budget, what's in the news as well. The song we opened the show with is new music, a new track called Long Island by Johnny Cake. And I played that because today marks the first day of the Long Island Regatta. They're going to be regattaing all the way until, Saturday the 8th. And you know how Long Island people go? Probably all the way until work starts on Monday. We are wishing the Long Island Association, the Long Islanders, all the boatsmen, we wishing y'all a super duper time, a successful regatta, smooth sailing, and great weather. My guest has joined me in studio this morning. Good morning, sir.
Pleasure. Good morning, ma'am. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. It's great to have you back.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be back.
I noticed you tagged in for Mr. Newry this morning.
Oh, definitely. You know, my colleague of ours, he's always on top of his game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope he is in Long Island right now, training, getting his...
From Long Island.
I ain't saying Newry from Long Island. Newry in Long Island, though. And I hope he is preparing to man one of those boats, beginning an illustrious sailing career for Mr. Newry. Wherever you are, Ian's in studio, and I got him today. I got him today. Mr. Munnings, we're going through some budget stories, through the papers, what's in the news. You want to talk FNM convention? Again, maybe we could talk a bit of FNM convention. I've got some budget stories on the other hour Morning Blend. They had lots of interesting stories and guests. They're also talking about road traffic and the traffic amendments from yesterday's stories, where the government is proposing a number of new amendments in an attempt, I think, to curb the large numbers of drivers who are on the road uninsured and unlicensed. I think we could save all that money, new legislation and all, educating people. We could save all of that money and create a policing strategy that requires the police to be on the roads policing drivers. Simple. Just a different strategy of engagement. Police presence on the roads. Stopping people for minor infractions gives you an opportunity to determine whether they have the right paperwork. And if, right, whether they ought to be
on the road.
On the road. That also gives you an opportunity to give drivers warnings and to educate them about the infractions that they are committing. So there's lots and lots to talk about, and I have a whole bunch of budget stories.
Well, I know you. I know firsthand. You was listening to the budget, and I know you would have been going through that budget thoroughly.
Well,
I am sure of this. You are going to go through that with a comb, and going through the budget, is it just a matter of fluff, or is it real? Is it real tangible for the Bahamian people? See, the question that I want to ask is that we understand that we're having duty freeze on drones, etc. The question is, with the Bahamian people as asking the questions, what happened to the VAT still on the medication? What happened to the VAT still on the bread and basket items?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the VAT still on the light bills? What happened to the VAT and all of these things that we're asking the VAT? We see we are increasing our budgets in regards to the consultants. We see that we are increasing the budgets on the food that they're going to eat in Parliament and so forth, and the opium. We see that all of these things are happening in our country. Yet we have yet to see a budget that reflects to the people of the Bahamas. This is the problem that we're having. So it doesn't matter which side of the political fence persons are on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of fact of you are here to represent the people of the Bahamas. You're here to put bills in place that will benefit the people. And we have not seen that.
So let me ask you a quick question. Is it that the budget itself is void of these measures? There are no line items for the poor. There are no line items for
the vulnerable,
right? Is that what it is? Or is it that the state does a poor job of presenting the budget to the public? They do a poor job of connecting constituents with the line items that focus on their needs or that address their needs.
The thing, Aaron, is that the Bahamian people have been advocating to the government,
mm-hmm.
and any government that sits in position of power or leadership, he or she works for the public, the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
We are going into grocery stores. It's becoming unbearable for Bahamians to go into a grocery shop and barely get a bag of grocery. We're talking about the increasing numbers of persons who are on a line for social service assistance that has not been rendered assistance as yet. We're talking about children that are Bahamian children that are getting up in the morning, Monday to Friday, not knowing where the next meal will come. Father and mother are out there working maybe 2 to 3 jobs and still can't even amount to one salary. It's becoming unbearable. And the reality is that a government that sits in position have to remember the greatest asset of a country is the people of the Bahamas. It's nothing else. We cannot continue to spend hundreds of millions of dollars as if this was fake monopoly money, when the Bahamian people are suffering and by the burdens and not giving true opportunities in our country.
Now,
it's crazy.
Let me ask you another question. Is it that the budget is poorly constructed, right? I want to just go through a story in yesterday's Guardian. More than $141 million allocated for new Ministry of Works investment projects, right? For instance, the $35 million Gladstone Road Improvement Project has a $35 million Gladstone Road Improvement Project has a $5 million allocation in the 2024-2025 budget, right, fiscal year, with $15 million forecasted for the next year and another $15 million forecasted for the next year. So here's the example. I've been budgeted $5 million for the first phase of this project. Is the problem that the budget is the budget has been poorly constructed, and that $5 million is just not enough for the first stage? And so by the middle of the first phase of that year's work, you've already overrun that budget, stopping the project, putting it on pause until the next fiscal year and disbursement of funds is problematic. It is detrimental and undermines the integrity of the work that you're doing, right? So you can't stop. So now you got to figure out where to pull that money from. And your political policy as well, we pull it from those who can fight back least. So you end up pulling it from a social services budget. Is that what we're facing, right? That the intention is not to disadvantage the poor or the vulnerable, but that's what ends up happening because of a poorly constructed budget. For instance, in the conversation around the Charifta Games and the audit, the statement that the chair of the LOC, the local organizing committee, made was that these games were grossly under budgeted. My presumption is that they then overspent the budget, being on the ground and closest to the project, understanding the funds required or resources required to hit the target, right? Is this what we're facing?
Poor management, poor planning?
Right, as opposed to a political agenda devoid of concern for the poor. It's just that in this political culture, whenever an administrative crisis strikes, it's the most vulnerable that are first on the list to be slashed.
Aaron, we are in Nassau is 21 miles by 7 miles wide. And we are continuously burdened by the digging of, whether it's private or government. We have yet to get it right in regards to if it rains maybe 20 minutes, we find that the Ministry of Works was responsible for the overall work development within our nation. We're talking about areas that are flooding very quickly, whether it's lack of drainage, whether it's lack of any kind of things that will help in aid in these things. Are the inspectors riding around when these things are taking place to take note, to say that these particular areas will be areas of interest in regards of if there is a hurricane, rather than waiting for the hurricane to appear?
I could tell you with a degree of certainty, they're not riding around, because as opposed to having inspectors moving through the island constantly observing and making assessments, particularly for potholes, they created a pothole hotline and then said to us, the public, we must, when we spot a pothole, find a safe way to stop our car, find a safe way to access the road in order to take a picture of the pothole and send it to them. So I could say with a degree of certainty that they're not riding around doing regular assessments.
So what are they being paid for?
I ain't sure.
What is the public funds being disbursed for every month regards to that?
Here's another question. One of the articles I want to look at today, get into, more than $141 million allocated for new Ministry of Works investment projects, right? So 141, they outlined the projects. But what we do know is that BEC, has been, that portfolio, that quasi-governmental agency corporation has been removed from the portfolio of Ministry of Works. We know that water and sewerage, right, I think has been moved from the portfolio and sits within the portfolio of a minister operating out of, I think, the office of the prime minister, right? BTC, similarly. So will we ever see a breakdown of the resources diverted or thus saved, right? The resources not spent by Ministry of Works on those entities. Are we seeing a breakdown of that? How much money is Ministry of Works saving because these entities are no longer under their portfolio? And how much have these new quasi-ministries, or how many resources are now, and who's responsible for the budgeting? Who comes to Parliament and speaks to the budget for each entity?
The thing is, I think that the government has placed the people in a position where they have also grown comfortable with not being able to address the people and say to the people, this is the narrative. This is where we at. This is what this particular department is doing. Instead of us finding the solutions to the problems, we just want to compact more problems into the system. Let's look at road traffic for illustration. All of the vehicles that we currently have registered to road traffic that pays the government a license fee. The license fee is just a governmental tax, nothing more and nothing less. The government puts a tax on it, and that is what we're paying. Hundreds of millions of dollars are going through the department. Yet you're saying that all of the funds are being compounded in a consolidated fund. Mm-hmm. How can we then assess where we are hemorrhaging, where monies are being misappropriated? How can we say we're going to wait till 5 and 10 years to say we're going to run an audit to figure it out? I mean, it makes no sense.
Hold on. Somebody told you that they couldn't trace the funds.
Obviously
in the consolidated funds.
Obviously they can't trace
it. We compounded
all of the funds from every government tax or department into one particular funding area. And then when even the VAT money, where's the VAT money going? I'm saying, in regards to, we're saying that the VAT was intended to pay down the national debt. Yet we have not gotten our rail report in regards to the VAT money. We're looking at the Bahamian people paying more and more taxes. Yet you can't substantiate to tell me as a Bahamian, where is my money going? It doesn't matter if you're an F&M, a PLP, or whatever it is that you are. The reality is the country comes first. The people come first. I want to know exactly, you're borrowing more money. You're borrowing more money from other vendors. You're finding money is to borrow outside. But you're not saying that the $2 billion or $3 billion we paid for the VAT, this is what happened. So the debt is increasing, yet the people can't feel the government's position in regards to releasing the burdens of the people. 9 million tourists, you say, coming to the destination.
Means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing if the grassroots and the poor, the vulnerable, is not feeling that 9 million people.
Pause. Let's take it up to a technical level. The 9 million people means, to me, the average Bahamian worker, because those 9 million people, of that 9 million, how many are cruise passengers? See, because here's what happens. The cruise passenger, the bulk of what they spend goes to the cruise line. What's paid to the government is just a tip. That's just a tip. That tax is paid to the government. It's just a tip on top of what they pay in the cruise. It's like when you go to a restaurant, right? You say, you pay me, the owner, and you tip the server, right? You tip the server, but you pay in me, the owner. Resort, same thing. Those customers belong to the resort. The bulk of what they pay goes to the resort. The tax, it's like a tip. And then we, the people, are left to fend for the crumbs, hoping that they trickle down from both the government, well, from all three entities, from the government through opportunities. Right? Oh, this little money we putting that in the consolidated fund, that going towards the hospital, right? The tourist who we are constantly begging, spend money with me. And the cruise line in the charitable initiatives, right, that they provide for the Bahamas in the hopes of bonuses every year. That's where the money goes, and that's how the Bahamian accesses it. 9 million tourists don't mean nothing. They don't mean anything to me, the average Bahamian on the ground.
But the thing is, Aaron, is that these cruise liners that are coming into the country in regards to bringing the tourists to a destination that is a stable environment in regards to our government, governments around the world, they look for destinations where stableness is mm-hmm. readily available. Are those cruise liners registered here to the Bahamas? And if they are registered in the Bahamas, are they doing enough in regards to being registered here in the Bahamas, taking in all of the concessions and everything the government will provide? It ain't like they can lift their boat up and not pass through the Bahamas. Well, how are they going to get to those other destinations if they don't pass through the Bahamas? This is my question. So we are selling out our country as if we were beggars to the door asking for mere peppins, when real estate in our country, look at Albany. We've given crown land to those persons to develop. When we're selling one particular condo for maybe $10 million, a house for maybe $80 million, but the government is going abroad begging for $10 million to invest in a country that is paradise? It's crazy.
One second, Joe Beth. I just found out a vibe. I just heard something. This is JoBeth Colby. Have you tried Albany for the $1 billion? Have you gone to Albany and asked them?
You can't get in.
If they could give you $1 billion for BPL. I just don't have it. I don't have it this pay cycle. I definitely not going to have it next pay cycle. And you're going to need to check me in 2045 to see if I have that type of change lying around. Let's put a question to the Bahamian audience, to the listeners. 9 million stopover, 9 million, was it, he said, cruise passengers, 9 million tourists visit the Bahamas. Are you feeling it? Are you feeling it in your pockets? Or are you feeling it in the misery index on the other side? Are you feeling the positive effects of 9 million visitors? Or are you feeling the negative effects of 9, and let me tell you what the negative, some of the negative effects 9 million visitors are. Traffic.
Increasing.
I don't understand how people from the developed world come to the Bahamas and just forget how traffic works. Like, I don't understand how people who come here and then say, I didn't realize y'all had cars, get here and then forget how cars work. To be honest with you, the proliferation of tourist pedestrian traffic and the proliferation of taxis terrorizing the Bahamian public in an attempt to make that tourist dollar. And my question is, are you feeling the positive of the 9 million come in, or are you feeling the negative of the 9 million come in? Here's another example. Somebody said during the pandemic, the power did never go off. Power never went off. It was good. And I thought, you know what wasn't happening during the pandemic? Tourism wasn't happening during the pandemic. That's what was not happening during the pandemic. Are our energy woes partially due to the fact that we have 9 million plus tourists coming every year and nobody thought about buying some extra electricity for them?
Definitely.
Nobody thought about stacking the pantry. So, I see, producer, let's go to the phone line. The question is, with the 9 million tourists that the government... Oh, I'm sorry, I lost you, caller. The 9 million the government is bragging... Please call back. Is bragging about. Are you feeling the positives of their arrival, or are you feeling a negative impact of their arrival? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for family island listeners. If you're in Long Island at the Regatta, call us. Give us a heads up. Give us a breaking news update on the Long Island Regatta. Text line is always 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. It's one of the questions I put on the table. We were talking about energy, and I got a couple of energy stories here, particularly out of Eleuthera. Top of this week, Eleuthera Chamber of Commerce president. Great story. Let me see if I could pull it up right here. He says, hey, we are having big issues in Eleuthera with reliable electricity supply.
What part of Eleuthera?
I think they're in South Eleuthera, but I think he is the chamber president for the whole of Eleuthera.
The reason I asked that question is, I don't hear any complaints coming out of Spanish Wells.
They know how to build generators in Spanish Wells, man. They know how to build generators in Spanish Wells. The Chamber of Commerce president said, "As let's prep that caller, producer. Caller coming to you in a second. Businesses are continuously facing challenges from unreliable electricity and water services." This is in response to the opening ceremony of Disney Lookout Key. So here's what I'm saying. How could Disney be down in Saudi Lutra for all of this time building out their project? The project is about to open, and we still having electricity and water service issues on that island. What is the point of them being there if they're not prepared to contribute to the overall development of the island? Let's go to the call, and then we get back to that. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and good morning to your guest.
Morning.
Morning, how you doing?
And I have a downside to the 9 million tourist visit.
Okay.
I'm in a down category because right now I'm hearing that I would have to renew driver's license, renew insurance, license and inspect car, got to eat, got to pay that massive VC bill, all now in 1 month.
Oh, wow.
How, you know, and they ain't going to put it on your running account.
Yeah.
So, you know, where is the upside of the 9 million? Had they getting a dollar from each one of those tourists, we would have been able to help BEC over that billion of dollars.
The little debt they have there, yeah.
Exactly. So, I don't get it. You know, how is that working for us? And then when election time come around, they're now going to say, but we didn't give you any new taxes. But you're trying to murder me. Not even kill me. You're trying to murder me with what you're doing now.
How
is that any help to me?
I just want to say they were very clear. They said no new taxes, but the ones that exist, we're going to raise them. We're going to raise them a little bit. I would liken it like this. This is, I would say, particularly with road traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the negative for Bahamians. In the grand scheme of things, you move road traffic now to Tonic Darling / Harold Road Highway. Hold on.
Don't go there.
Hold on. Do any buses run that way? Do any buses run on that route?
No.
So here I am trying to get my car on the road so I could drive it. Here I am trying to get my driver's license so I could drive on the road. How am I to get there if I don't have if I have an expired driver's license and I'm not allowed to drive? How do I get there if my car license has expired and I'm not allowed to drive? But I could go in and take the plates in, right? I already got it inspected, but I can't drive it at this point. Surely it's supposed to be public transportation access to every government agency on the island. But there isn't. And hold on, here's why there isn't. There isn't because the entire public transportation system has been turned on its head. Because we don't want tourists thinking they could just move around the country at jitney prices. They must know that they gotta pay these taxi prices.
You know, Aaron, you are so correct with that. If you notice, it may just be me, but I know I've noticed that the government is not doing anything that I see that is trying to better the lives of the Bahamians. You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
It's like, and the laws that they are passing, these things that they're doing, you know, they're adding, how should I say it? My grandma said, heaping coals of fire on your head.
Mm-hmm.
They're just adding to your burden and then smiling in your face.
And here's what the issue is again, right? Like let's take the same sort of the question and place it over here, right? State actors will argue, they posit to us, they tell us that the Bahamas has one of the lowest taxation regimes in the country in terms of the amount of taxation upon the citizens. We one of the lowest, right? And that we shouldn't complain about taxes because taxes are used to better the country. Taxes are used to pay civil servants, blah, blah, blah. We don't have a problem with taxes. We have a problem with two things. First is we don't ever see where the taxes are going. Okay. We don't ever see real substantive improvement on infrastructure and systems. Here's the second thing. Whenever a new policy or system is created and a tax attached to it in particular, right? Nobody ever explains to us how the new policy works. Nobody ever explains to us what the benefit of the new policy is. Nobody can ever show us what the benefit of the new policy is. Let's go back to road traffic again, right? Do you know how much time and money I lost just trying to get my driver's license because of a lack of clarity around the procedure? You can't go online anywhere and get a clear explanation of what you can do, how you can do it, how each station is supposed to operate. A sign on the window say, this station is cashless. If you only have cash, go to this station. My friend called me from the other station and say, this station is cashless too.
Exactly.
Aaron.
She only found that out after I sent her there.
Aaron, the funniest thing is that somebody stole my bumper and removed the plate at the same time.
Right.
I put in the report to the police station.
Thank you, caller.
I put the report to the police station and took the report to road traffic.
Yeah.
Upon going to road traffic, I was unaware that you would have to pay for that particular plate again.
Right.
I paid for the plate again with the expectancy of getting the plate right then and there.
Yeah.
They said to me, I would get the plate, but I have to keep calling. I said, I have to keep calling. Why would I have to keep calling?
You have all my information.
You have my information.
Why wouldn't you send me a notice when the plate has arrived?
Right. So it's been now about 5 months, and I have yet to receive a plate. But this is a plate that you made me, but I have paid for before, and I have to pay for again. And I have not received that plate in 5 months. So what are we doing? There's a bunch of vehicles riding around with no plates.
Sorry, caller. Call back, caller. Here are the numbers to call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for our Family Island listeners. Producer, let's prep for a break. Play one of them song I send. I get a text here, say, Aaron, Long Island is the best regatta in the Bahamas. That's what it's really called. The best regatta. I ain't mad at that at all.
You mean Exuma?
I just saying because you from Exuma. And I sure, when I open my mouth, I'm attempting to say Andrus is the best, right? But it just Long Island come out every time I try say it. Oh, and a reminder that the Acklands Cascarilla, I think the Cascarilla Festival has been pushed back to October. So on my HHT family, we could do both. We could do both this year. We could do the HHT family reunion in Nassau, then we could go do the festival down in Acklands too in October. This is Shine 242, Island Hopper, one of his newest songs, and Long Island is the newest track by Johnny Cake. We go into a break. We'll be right back. Like one of my texters said, mind Dwight, he say, you off the rock with Aaron Green, right? So we be right back on the rock with Aaron Green.
I go into it I go into it so much. If my need ain't got them ballers, so yeah, I'm island above. Yeah, big sun in our island. I'm a go be sailing. Party lit in Grand Bahama. Oh yeah, I'm island above.
Stay informed with the Nassau Guardian, your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The Nassau Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round. Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The Nassau Guardian, we've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
Ken kek biwo medikala ki fwete tetyo nan bay multiple service. Men nou nan Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, Imaj, se sa nou fe. Men bagay pou lot lokasyon nou yo, Imaj nan Gouverneur, ni nan Kamakelo. Mem si nou ta bezwen yon radiografi, mamografi, ekografi, or eskaner pou fam gwas, nou gen yo. Yon ekip komisyoner konsey radiolog, setifiye tout employer yo. Yo chak ak pwap domen yo. Yo bay dokter ou rezilta ou nan 24 tan. Rele 328-81-57 pou randevou nan Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, lokasyon Kamakelod ou bien Imaj nan Grosvenor jodia.
Sign up now for the 24 Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. Taking place Monday, July 15th to Sunday, July 21st. At the Hope Center and the Candlelight Exchange. We are shooting hoops instead of guns. Phone 601-4842 or visit our Facebook page. Sign up today for the 2024 Michael Scudery Basketball Classic. Peace on the Streets 2024 is coming.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Boy, this Bush music speed, eh? Let's go!
Sunny back, ducks in the pond. These gals all here like grass on melon. And let me tell you one thing,
Friday, go home, and Long Island is home for anybody who gone to the Long Island Regatta. Once again, y'all have a good time down in Long Island. They had a little miscommunication. Somebody at ZNS thought they wasn't going to Long Island for the Long Island Regatta. And the Long Islanders, they in 24 hours, they built a boat. They say, we built a boat for y'all to come to Long Island. Stop playing. Come to Long Island. And of course, ZNS said it was just a miscommunication. How could we miss Long Island Regatta? Long Islanders say, don't watch nothing. We got the boat. We done build it. It's too late. We done build the boat. Get on it. Come to Long Island. So y'all have a good time. Also, there's no shows on Friday, guys. Friday is Labor Day. Friday is Labor Day. I think I even have a story in here about salary increases, salary reviews for civil servants. But let's get to this text. Morning, Aaron. You can drive your car to road traffic to get it licensed with an expired license. No, listen, let's talk about it, please. Let's talk about it clearly. You are not allowed to have your car on the road with an expired license. Your insurance is rendered invalid if you drive in the car that is unlicensed. Now, what has happened is you may drive on the road to road traffic and not get stopped by a police officer and make it there safely with no problem and put the new tags on your car after you paid and you're good. You may have also encountered an officer that believed you when you said, officer, you see what time it is? I'm trying to get to road traffic right now because I know I missed the end of the month. I go in there now. And the officer said, oh, mom, you look like a good, trustworthy mom. You wouldn't lie to a police officer and they let you go. That's his or her discretion. Producer, let's prep this call. Caller, coming to you in a second. That's their discretion. As the law stands, you are not allowed to be on the road with an unlicensed car. We don't have enough tow services to bring unlicensed cars to the stations, and we need stations all over New Providence people. Let's go to the phone line, then we go into that consultancy story. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, sir. How you doing?
9 million to a survival, arrival, our survival. That's just a little stuff. But listen, mm-hmm. I need some help here because I'm very, very dumb and ignorant. I can't read at all, right? What you're saying now is that you said that if a person is driving a vehicle and it's unlicensed, you know, let's say the vehicle is up, like, the officer could use his discretion, because I need one or two things to be answered here, because I'm not hearing...
There's no officers in the studio. It's me and Mr. Munnings, Ian Munnings.
I know Mr. Munnings' voice. But what I'm saying is, so you said that if the license has expired, so let's say my license expired on the 30th of whatever month, and then or the 31st, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm on my way to go traffic on the 1st or the 2nd.
Right.
And so the officer sees me and he says, for some infraction, whatever, and he says the license expired like a day or two later. You know, officers will give you a blight. But then if they see you a month or two later or whatever, a year later, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that the insurance is valid, I mean, insurance is rendered invalid once the car license expired?
If the car is unlicensed, right, your insurance agent can fight that. They're not gonna be like, oh, we can pay that.
Not liable for it.
Right, because...
Well, you mean in case you're in an accident?
Right, but that's the only time the insurance kicks in.
Come and clear it, because what you're saying is if you pay for the whole year and the license expired not coinciding with the expiration of the insurance, and then the fact remains, it's a lot of questions to ask for somebody who's thinking. You, what I'm saying is, can you do these things online? Can you do the driver's license online?
You can apply for your driver's license on the My Gateway portal.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, you're looking at the disadvantage here. I'm trying to find out how practical it is and how much sense it makes, because if I pay my insurance for a year and I pay them in full,
mm-hmm.
you're telling me because the car expired for 1 or 2 days that my insurance...
No,
so they need to clear that up, because that's robbery in the greatest degree. It can't be. There have to be some humanizing here about the situation. You get what I'm saying, Ms. Green?
I got you.
It doesn't make sense to me. Nothing makes sense in this country. No, in Mr. Pintar's speech, he highlighted a whole new plethora of ordinances that can make this place. You know, Aaron, when you look at the way all this country is run, from the lack of traffic enforcement, people parking on the sidewalks, the extra tinted windows, and you're talking about, you know, and anyhow, I need to have a, listen to me. Some days, just, I don't even need to say on air, because I don't want to be pointed at. But what I'm saying is, we're not serious about anything in this little banana republic, you know.
Thank you,
you
50.
Have to understand, you know.
Thank you, 52.
52, we must consider also that the city of Nassau, or just like the entire New Providence, is an island. It's an island. It's an archipelago of islands. We're not city-nized in regards to those concrete jungles like the New Yorks and Chicago.
Yeah, but that means we should even have things better under control.
We should.
I listened to Daz the other day. Daz had a conversation with a lady who lives in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Daz asked the lady a question. She asked the lady if she owned a vehicle. But I couldn't remember what the lady said. But the lady said it's not even practical, or it is so expensive to own vehicles over there.
Yeah.
So you have to come into the city, but you have to park so far to catch
a train in
the city.
Yeah.
So we didn't have an upgraded transportation system in order to facilitate certain things. So, you know, we in the dark ages. The Negro has been brainwashed into believing that having even a vehicle is advantageous, but because of the lack of transportation system, we have all deified owning a car. When you have millionaires in first world countries, don't even see no need for a car unless they, especially coming into the city.
Exactly.
The metropolitan area. Bless them. All right. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm aware that many of us didn't get the memo. Due to an ongoing administrative crisis, the Bahamas will not be joining the Great Reset this year or next year or the year after. Check back after the general election. Texter here says, how are you to get your car from the dock or dealership to road traffic? Dear Texter, you were supposed to hire a tow company. You're supposed to hire a licensed, authorized tow company take your car from the dock to road traffic. That is what you're supposed to do. Here's what happened. We like hook up so much. We like going around the process so much, we don't even know what the process is anymore. And that's not just in this space. This is in every space we're in. So follow left on red. The vast majority of people who are turning left on red has never heard a conversation in the public domain about it. They haven't read an article about it. They just see people turning left on red So they too are turning left on red. And what has become of that? Now, they people see people turning right on red at Mackey and Shirley Street to go westbound onto Shirley Street from the southbound Mackey Street Lane coming from the bridge. They see people turning right on red. They see taxis do it. They see tour companies do it. They see red plates do it. And now the ordinary driver is just doing it. Right? That's how things happen here. Yes, you are supposed to use an authorized tow service to move your unlicensed car from place to place. And if you say to the officer, man, I just get the car from the mechanic. It's been down for a year. It's been down for 6 months. You're supposed to have a receipt or an invoice from the mechanic with dates on it.
I don't even work the road traffic.
So the police officer could look at it, and he just don't have to believe, right? You begging him, especially as a woman, you're looking at him with the pretty eyes and, oh, officer, I just getting it from the mechanic. At least have an invoice from the mechanic to show him or her.
The thing is, Aaron, is that I remember that when your car was down and you went to a mechanic of your choice, you would get a letter from that particular mechanic who was licensed, and you'll take it to the road traffic to state that, hey, my car was down for a year or two. That's no longer, you can't use that. They're not gonna honor that in regards to say that your car was to a mechanic. So you will still be charged for all of the time that the car was sitting down in the mechanic yard for whatever reason.
We just need one, two good lawyers to take a case and to challenge it so that we could have a judge clearly interpret the law. Let's get to these texts. Aaron, that call is looking for slackness. Slackness is what got the country to this point. In the U.S., an insurance company notifies the Department of Transportation when your insurance expires. And if you don't send proof to DOT, your driver's license gets suspended after a certain amount of time. If the police run your plate and you can't show proof of insurance, they'll impound your car. Another text here. My insurance is always 5 months valid at the time when I license my vehicle. However, all insurance lasts 1 year. Why can't the government just say the insurance should be valid for 6 months after your vehicle is licensed and stick with that? To take it further by trying to force people to insure and license at the same time is not fair. People can insure their vehicle from the month of their birthday to an additional 6 months. Pay the extra for that year, which will take you to 6 months ahead. The following year, when you go to my license, your insurance will have 6 months left. When that 6 months expire, pay another 1 year, and it will always be 6 months ahead. Texter says, so Nassau Motor and Bahamas Bus and Truck running your vehicle illegally when they carry it to road traffic after we buy it? That makes no sense whatsoever. Lots of things don't make sense in this country. Things don't make sense in this country, but if you just stop and think about it for a second, if cars are not allowed to be on the road unlicensed, then they're not allowed to be on the road unlicensed. Maybe the car's supposed to have an OT plate, right? Maybe the car's supposed to have a plate that indicates the car is being moved by the importer to a location. There's a process and a procedure for that.
But it should be outlined.
Right, and it should be easily accessible. Producer, let's go to the phone line quickly. Which Bush mechanic is give receipt? Here's what you do. Buy your own receipt book, right? Here's what you do. You buy your own receipt book. You make up the receipt. And when it's time to pay, you take pictures. You take a picture of you giving the mechanic the money with the receipt and the little invoice you wrote up. And so you have it documented. You could do this. We could do this. I don't expect people, though, right? Like, I'm not beating up people because they don't know. I beat up the people who know and don't share it. I beat up the people who see the gaps, see the lack of access to information, and the people who desperately need it and do nothing to bring them two together. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Phone line lit up. Text says, why people always imposing things to make life harder? Turning left on red while no one is coming is not a problem. It is a problem, Texter. I'm going to get back to that. You caused me have to say this. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yes, sir. Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Good morning. If they want to really be productive, look at the same law with state when your car's off the road that they want to continue paying when you go to relicense it.
Yeah, you know? we need to examine that as well, eh?
Big time, big
yeah,
time.
Yeah, because they told me to bring something in. I took something in to the controller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they said it's time by the mechanic, let them know the parts that you changed.
Yeah.
And they lost it. You know, and I haven't lost that also, you know, as well as my sister's though. No?
Yes,
what
sir.
I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
You
know? Thank
these,
you.
These government officials, they don't take cars from the camp because they drive our car. Mm-hmm. And then one breakdown, they just change it.
Right. We have an accident, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Right.
Texas said, why people always imposing things to make life harder, turning left on red while no one is coming is not a problem. Dear Texter, I'm going to need you to park your car right now. I need you to park your car right now. First of all, the law says that you're supposed to treat it like a stop sign. You're supposed to treat turning left on red like a stop sign. First of all, the only place you are permitted to turn left on red is at University Drive and University Commons. You don't have to believe me, but when you hit somebody and their insurance agent knows the law, you could be suffering. The only place you're allowed to turn left on red is at University Drive and University Commons.
Is that lack of them not putting up the signs?
Exactly,
is their problem.
It's your problem because the law says that you can only turn where there is a sign. Listen, your Grammy done had this conversation with you.
The ministry is supposed
because
to say
you're,
it now.
Because your friend's stupid, you just going to decide to be stupid too? Because your friends decide to jump off the bridge, you can jump off the bridge too? No. And if you thought that you could turn left on red somewhere, you're supposed to treat the intersection like a stop sign. Stop for a minimum of 3 seconds. Check that the way is clear. Do not interfere with oncoming traffic's right of way. And when the way is clear, then you can turn left on red. What y'all be doing, to be honest with you, I ready to call your boss right now and say, you know the same brain he drove to work with? He ain't put that in the locker and get the work brain. He using that same brain to tell him to run the red light on your job, sir. I was tempted to do that, but don't watch nothing. We're at the end of this hour. You've been on the rock, the clock. We're daring, don't fall off the rock.
You better stay on the rock.
Unless you're going to Long Island and have a good time on the rock at the Long Island Regatta. Mr. Ian Munnings, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure.
I've got brief. It's Oceans Month, Oceans Week. We talking all things ocean. I's a boatman, a seaman.
My work is on the water.
But I love me some Stellite. Y'all, play some Stellite this holiday weekend. Labor Day is coming. Y'all have a great day. Guardian Radio AM. It's CA Newry is up next. God, from your lips, you want me to die. Come on.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. National Bahamas.